When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
We'll get an update on the situation in Alabama with Darius Miles a little bit later on. Pat Forty joining us. More of your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. Let's check out Bert, who is in Alabama. Hello, Bert.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Earlier in today's show, you mentioned the defensive coordinator job at Alabama, and you named off a few names, and I would like your opinion or your choice of those names if you were in Saban's spot to pick the defensive coordinator.
Well, Bert, I think the real question is where is Nick Saban looking and what is his comfort level? I would think he would have a high degree of comfort for Jeremy Pruitt, having worked with him two different times on his staff, knowing that Jeremy Pruitt is capable of running that side of the ball. I think Shulman is a little bit different. He worked with him. He's a Georgia co-DC. He worked with him as a grad assistant, so it's a different relationship. He's going for some other people in the industry. I just don't know. I think right now it's a matter of fit for Nick Saban more than anything else, because that is the side of the ball that he spends most of his time on. So you can hire an offensive coordinator at Alabama and you'll get very little interference. The defensive coordinator is going to be seeing Nick Saban all the time.
Well, you didn't say this, but I think Jeremy Pruitt would be a great fit for Alabama.
Yeah, I think I used the phrase earlier this week that he would be comfort food, and I think some people took that the wrong way. Comfort food is something that you're comfortable with. You feel good. It may not always be good for you, but you're still going to take it. And I think Pruitt and Saban have had a good relationship, and I know how highly thought of Jeremy Pruitt is by Nick Saban and the inner circle down there.
Well, I thank you very much, and like I said, I do appreciate you taking my call, and I was just
thank you very much.
What your thoughts were?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm fine with that, and I think the thing about Pruitt that we've talked about, is it possible that he would be able to be hired? Well, I think that question's already been answered. Jeremy Pruitt's been on the shelf now for 2 years. And it's no secret that Nick Saban has coveted him, but it just was a matter of making a change. And in fact, Pete Golden made it easier for him by leaving, voluntarily, to go to Ole Miss. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Shane is in Georgia. Hello, Shane.
How you doing, sir?
Okay, thank you.
I got a couple questions for you. Since Stetson Bennett has done what Stetson Bennett's done, do you think that he is the greatest Bulldog to play the game? Also, who do you think our next quarterback will be?
Yeah, I'm not really privy to anything anybody else isn't on who the next quarterback will be. But I think the other question's more difficult. You cannot argue with Stetson Bennett's success, but you can argue that he would be the best player in Georgia history.
I agree.
I frankly think nothing is set in stone, but I think it really is set in stone. I cannot imagine anybody having more impact and being better at the University of Georgia than Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
By the way, Shane, I know a lot of people are pushing this narrative on Stetson Bennett, and I think you don't need me to say anything more about Stetson Bennett. It speaks for itself. But, in terms of talent, we're not really having a fair conversation here if you're measuring Stetson Bennett versus what Herschel Walker did between 1980 and 1982. Let's check out Alex is in Detroit next. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
We are well, thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah, I'm calling. I just want to know what's your take on Michigan. I know they didn't meet the expectations, of what we wanted, with that tough loss against TCU. But let's say if the college poll were to start today, what would you rank Michigan? Do you think they can be considered a top five team and get back to the college playoffs?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Michigan right now has moved into that rarefied air of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. They belong there. And I think they'll start the season off next year somewhere in the top four. They have the quarterback back. They have Corum's back. They're in good shape. They have a pretty good schedule with Ohio State in Ann Arbor. So, yeah, I think Michigan is in fantastic shape. Bobby is in Tennessee. Hey, Bobby.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Yes. You want me to go ahead?
I wish you would. Thank you.
Yes. I was calling to just make reference to the fact that you called Johnny Majors a halfback, and this is being nitpicky, but there was no halfback in that particular offense. He would have been called a tailback.
Tailback, yeah. Yeah, you know what? The second I said that, I realized I remember him being described as a tailback because he pretty much did everything.
Yeah, the ball was snapped directly. The ball was snapped directly to the tailback. Generally,
right?
There would have been a fullback, then it would have been a blocking back that generally lined up behind one of the guards, and then a wing back that would be lined up just outside of the tight ends.
Okay. Well, by the way, Bobby,
I believe
I stand corrected on that, and. I've seen most people we talk about play college football. I never saw Coach Majors, so I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yes, you're from the Memphis area, I believe.
Correct.
Memphis Catholic ran in high school, ran that single wing for a long, long time, and I believe I'm correct. I believe Whit Canale and George Canale that played for Catholic High wound up playing the same positions at the University of Tennessee when they were still running the single wing.
You know, Bobby, I remember growing up hearing those guys named.
One other name, I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to take your time. But one other name I want to mention from the Memphis area, a little younger than you, but was Billy Fletcher from Southside, was an outstanding high school quarterback.
Billy played at Memphis State, didn't he?
Yes, that's correct. He went to Ole Miss to start with, and, of course, in those days, they recruited a number of quarterbacks, likely changing a lot of them to other positions, but just most coaches in those days would put their best athlete at quarterback. Billy was an outstanding athlete and started on the freshman team there. I think there were about 10 quarterbacks. But Billy was the starting quarterback and was projected to probably be definitely a contender for the varsity.
Now, we're talking what? Are we in the 60s here with Billy Fletcher? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, that would be in the 60s. I believe Fletcher probably I'm trying to put this together. His last season, high school season, would have been 60, so he would have been a freshman at Ole Miss 61 and then came back to Memphis, and the reason was he got married, help me out, who would have been the Ole Miss coach then?
Well, that would have been John Vaught.
Yeah, correct, John Vaught. I don't think he would let his players marry, or at least try to
discourage
it.
You know, you're right. I remember that was pretty much the rule back then. I'm trying to remember I was interviewing Billy Payne a couple of years ago, and he told me a similar story that he wanted to go to South Carolina, but he was married, and they wouldn't let him. I can't remember so he ended up going to Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'll let you go,
thanks, Bobby.
I wasn't being nitpicky about
you're right, and I should know better. But I was, yeah. And by the way, the guy was technically correct, based on how you described the single wing. You brought back a lot of memories about Memphis State growing up, because I remember watching Billy Fletcher.
Now, where did you go to high school?
Now, interestingly, my first 2 years I was at CBHS, so that's how I understand the Catholic connection.
Okay, Christian Brothers.
Yeah.
Which, big rivalry. There was back in those early 60s, the Fletcher days, the big rivalry was Southside and Central, or Southside and Christian Brothers, or Catholic entered into that. It was sort of four teams there that were really, really tough teams. And
Bobby, do you remember Tom Nix, the head coach of Christian Brothers?
I certainly do, yes.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was there in ninth grade, and we had PE class with Coach Nix. And it happened to be the Monday after the opening game, which I believe was against Southside, and they lost the game, which was unusual for Christian Brothers. And to put it mildly, I was not exactly a great physical specimen. And he was all over me. And I was starting to get sick. I mean, I was like physically ill. And he stood over me and said, he asked me for my name because he didn't know it. And I told him, he said, Feinbaum, he said, you're as pathetic as my football team. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. And we later became good friends. I know he died a couple of years ago, and I was—he was such a great man.
He was an outstanding coach.
And I joked with him about that one time when I went back to town, and he did not like losing that opening game.
I'm not sure how many years it went on, but for a long while, Southside and Christian Brothers would play at Crump Stadium there, of course,
right,
on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And
but,
some huge crowds. I'm talking about huge crowds for high school. I'm afraid to mention a figure, but
I know what you're talking about.
Crowds.
Well, hey, I can't thank you enough for taking me back to an era that I didn't think I still remembered, but you never know what you remember when you're prompted. Hey, thanks so much, Bobby. Call again. Love the conversation. We're up against a break. Pat Forty joining us in a couple of minutes. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. We'll talk to Pat Forty about some basketball issues in a few minutes. We last saw him a couple weeks ago in Atlanta. Sandra is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Sandra.
Hello. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to know what's your take on Calipari, the one-and-done class every year where at the end of the school year, you don't even know the boys' names because they're in there for 1 year and they're gone to the NBA.
Well, Sandra, unfortunately, that's the nature of college basketball right now. As far as Cal is concerned, I've rarely, if ever, seen a better performance under pressure than what we saw the other day. I mean, their whole season literally held in the balance, hung in the balance, and he went into Knoxville with a great game plan. And he also has, I think, three of the top four players committed for next year's signing class. But ultimately, he has to finish this season, and you know, one game does not matter if you can't back it up. But you can't blame Calipari. He's simply dealing with the current nature of college basketball.
That's true, but I think it's sad that they don't go in there and at least stay long enough and play that people know their names and they come back next year.
No, I agree with you. I mean, we are in a different era in basketball. It's never been the difference between now and a couple of years ago is at least they now have to go to college for 1 year, which I'm not really sure does them a whole lot of good. But thank you for the call. We'll talk more about that as well coming up here in a minute. Barney is in Atlanta. Hello, Barney.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
In 1956, there was a basketball game in Montgomery between Kentucky and Alabama. That was the first time, if I remember correctly, that 100 points was scored against a Kentucky team.
Well, that's interesting.
Do you remember that?
I did not know that. No, thank you for sharing that.
Okay. Have a good day.
Hey, thank you, Barney. You take care of yourself. Paul is up next in Oregon. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I'm a Gator, and so it's kind of hard to talk about the best Georgia player ever, and you might be able to help enlighten me. I kind of grew up in more than one place in this country, and when I was in middle school, high school, that was the sort of the when Syracuse was actually pretty tough. That's the area I was living in. I remember seeing Floyd Little and Larry Zonka.
Oh, yeah.
My PE class in seventh grade on Monday morning, the coach would talk about the Browns because of Jim Brown and how if they lost the game, how they aren't using him enough and so forth. But anyway, in regards to Georgia, I'd like to know more about how good a player, because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback that I don't hear even any Georgia homers talking about, Fran Tarkin. He really changed that position to an athletic position that hadn't been seen before.
Yeah, so listen, I didn't see Fran play, but I did see him play pro ball.
Right. I fell in love with him as a pro quarterback. Like, I really like Matt Stafford because of, he had to suffer those 13 whatever years in Detroit before he finally got a decent team. But
I've interviewed Fran a couple of times, and he's always been an engaging personality, and he's one of those people that you just don't really think about very much because he played really before most of us, not all of us, but most of us started watching college football. But I know of his reputation. I've talked to him about his days there, but I don't know much more about that.
Yeah, I don't know how good Georgia was in those days because, as I say, I was kind of following Syracuse. And,
right.
But when he played for Minnesota, I remember an article in Sports Illustrated on him, and he talked about how it took 6 years to become a pro quarterback.
By the way, speaking of Syracuse, Paul, you talk about a tradition, and you mentioned Floyd Little.
So disappointing, but I'm glad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he has probably in the modern era gotten the credit, but As a young person growing up, I don't think I've ever seen anybody that rivaled Jim Brown.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I remember getting a big arguments with this Alabama homer about how he was denying all of Jim Brown's records and saying it was what was his name, Jim Taylor,
right,
from Alabama. And I just, you know, would try to show him the numbers, and he just wouldn't look at them.
No. I mean, I know he's been paid his due, but he really has not gotten the credit I think he deserves in the modern era. I mean, obviously in his time, he played such a short period of time too. He left the game at his pinnacle to go and he's an amazing story for young people that are going, who is that guy? Look him up. We'll take a break. Pat Forte joining us in a few minutes right after this.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday, and always great to. It seems like we just saw Pat Forte the other day, but it wasn't then. It was the day before the other day. He's with Sports Illustrated, and so many things to talk about, Pat, as we say hello to you. But I do want to begin with Harbaugh. I thought the clock had been turned back a year when I noticed yesterday that he was staying at Michigan again. Did I miss something? Good afternoon.
Really, you didn't miss anything, because it is the same story as last year, basically. Harbaugh works in mysterious ways, but he does work. It works for Michigan. I think this is a good thing for Michigan. We'll see if he and his athletic director can get along, but keeping him in the fold, and I guess putting off the NFL hiring cycle for another year is a good thing for the Wolverines.
Yeah, his brother's had some bad luck lately, and so has Jim. But you mentioned his athletic director. I noticed the tweet yesterday from the school president. Is this a new normal, Pat? We see presidents tweeting out that they hear from the coach and then they contact the athletic director. Something I used to see it. Didn't it used to be the other way around?
It did, and I think in a high-functioning chain of command, it would be the other way around. But I don't think Jim Harbaugh and Ward Manuel are completely on the same page at this point. There had been some stress over his contract. He took the pay cut. He got some of that restored last year, but not necessarily to the point, I think, where he was expecting it to be. I think there's been more negotiation about continuing to enhance the contract, and you throw in an NCAA investigation, and I think the president kind of stepped in and played intermediary here. And Santana is a popular, charismatic guy, and certainly not afraid of being out in front of things. It's pretty interesting when the president's tweeting out the news.
I remember just the other day, it seemed like the Tennessee chancellor was firing a football coach for breaking NCAA rules or being accused of it. And now you got a guy who's accused of breaking NCAA rules, and the president's doing hugs with him on Twitter. Is that more of a sign of where the NCAA is, or did I miss something there too?
Well, it's a sign of where the NCAA is, and it's a sign of Michigan's one lost record the last two years. all things can be forgiven if you're beating the crap out of Ohio State and going to the playoff. Those two things count for a lot. NCAA rules. The thing, people want to gloss over Michigan's situation here, but this is not let NIL happen, they players should be paid sort of situation. This was recruiting during a dead period. That was a well-established rule that everybody had agreed to during the COVID period, and people that broke those rules ticked off competitors, that's for sure.
Talking to Pat Forty, Kevin Warren introduced today as the Bears, and we'll spare him because I don't really care to talk about him any longer, but I am interested in what the Big Ten is going to do next.
Good question. I think there will probably be at least strong consideration for going back to a more traditional commissioner, a campus guy, so to speak, whether that's Gene Smith, if he would like to move from Ohio State to the Big Ten office, whether that's Illinois Athletic Director Josh Whitman, whether that is Jim Phillips from the ACC, there's some other possibilities there, or if they want to stay outside the norm, a Mark Silverman from Fox Sports, who was with the Big Ten Network and certainly knows the league very well. Mark Lazarus, I'm sorry. But there's a lot of options, plenty of options there. And, it's not a hard job, I don't think, at this point, because they've already taken care of the TV contract and expansion. I think you're sitting in a pretty flush spot.
Pat, it seemed like the other day, it was under 2 weeks ago, I think, or maybe a little bit longer, we were talking to you about John Calipari. And, it just goes to show you can never count Cal out. Just when you were about to, it's the other guy who gets out coached Saturday in Knoxville. Rick Barnes looks like the fool versus John Calipari. What happened Saturday?
Boy, that was very interesting. I will give Kentucky credit because they were staggering in there off of, a couple of bad losses. And Cal was past the breaking point with a lot of fans. They fall behind 8-0. Crowd's going crazy. Tennessee's the better team on paper. And then they turn it around and win the game. And, great resilience by Kentucky. Some real defensive fortitude, which they hadn't shown much of. And, I thought just an atrocious offensive game from Tennessee. I mean, they didn't move. They didn't pass. They didn't attack the basket well. They missed I don't know how many layups. And it does – That's the state of college basketball this year, Paul. It's like who is good and for how long? More than a game? More than two games at a time? Not many.
Which I'm sure a lot of Kentucky fans are asking the question, if you can go to Knoxville, one of the top teams in the country, and do that, why can't you do it at home against teams that Tennessee just got through beating by nearly 50 points? I don't want to make you answer that because we need John Calipari to answer that, but help us understand it better.
Well, it's not a great Kentucky team by any means. They have probably one first-round NBA pick. Poor Kentucky only one top 10 pick.
Right.
In Cason Wallace. Oscar Tshiebwe is a great college player. Beyond that, they just have a bunch of guys, and they haven't gelled, and Calipari hasn't coached them well, and their offense has been a mess, and defensively they've lapsed in and out. There's been a lot of problems, and you can pin them all directly on Cal. But he has shown an ability to fix problems as they go along. The thing that drives Kentucky fans crazy, this has become a February, March sport. Kentucky fans, they don't want to wait till February and March to be good. They want to be good every game. And I think they're just tired of this process of flailing around for a couple of months, and this year even longer than that, before they put it together. And you can get everybody back on the page and happy and excited come March if you're on a roll, but there's a lot of angst and turmoil that goes along with that, and it's kind of wearing everybody out.
Pat Forty with us from Sports Illustrated. Pat, in your many, many years, you've covered some just terrible scandals in college basketball, really that are still difficult to talk about. But I want to bring you to another one that is underway, and I realize there's some separation. I'm speaking of the Darius Miles situation in Alabama. We don't have all the facts, but we have enough facts, and obviously the school had enough facts to immediately cut him loose as a member of that team. What do you know about this, and beyond the legal issues, the impact it could have on the program and at least the perception of the program as well?
Yeah, I mean, just a horrible, awful situation, and you know, one that certainly didn't seem to, you know, ever make any sense. I mean, just a senseless act of violence, a minor altercation turns into a gun battle, and this is what you end up with, and, you know, lost life. And, you know, we don't know what the impact will be long term. As you said, we don't know all the circumstances here. Darius Miles had been kind of in and out off the team. You know, he had gone home for a personal matter. He had been suspended a couple of times. Nate Oates said yesterday those were completely unrelated matters to this. But we do know, yes, as you said, that Alabama not only removed him from the team, but removed him from campus as a student. So, you know, you wonder just kind of what the ripple effect of this is going to be, not just the human loss, but beyond that. And it's a hard, hard thing to deal with. I feel for obviously the family of the victim and for the teammates of Darius Miles, who saw one of their own, you know, let off in handcuffs with a capital murder charge. Just a terrible turn of events.
Pat, it's incredibly trite to immediately go from that to Alabama has a game tonight in Nashville. They are really one of the better teams in the SEC, if not the best team right now. This is going to sound crazy to ask you to talk about that program, but fans do care about what happens on the court as well. What has been your impression of Alabama this year on the court?
Yeah, as far as the actual basketball product, they're fantastic. I mean, a great team. They are incredibly athletic. They're long. They're fast and shoot, and they're fearless, you know, and they defend. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch. Brandon Miller, you know, could be like a top five pick the summer. You know, I mean, they've got a lot going for them. Nate Oates has really kind of captured, I think, both the new way to play basketball, college basketball, and the new way to build a roster. And he's really put together a really good one here. And, you know, Alabama has had a long history of March heartbreak. We'll see what kind of shape they're in when we get around to tournament time. But right now, you put them on paper, they are a national championship contender.
Pat Forty, before you go, I would like to return back to Los Angeles 8 days ago. I really don't want to return to Los Angeles. I think it's still raining out there. But I'm curious, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since then, about the Georgia dominance, not all of a sudden because it's been building, but what we're currently seeing within the SEC, is it the changing of the guard? You know, what exactly are we watching here with Kirby Smart and Georgia?
I think it is a changing of the guard. I really do. I think that Kirby has mastered it right now the way Nick Saban was mastering it a decade or more ago. You know, he's figured it all out. The one thing with Kirby was I wasn't sure he was a great in-game coach, and I think he's gotten to the point now where he has gotten over that hump. He can recruit, he can motivate, he can game plan, and now you put him in that crucible and he starts pressing all the right buttons with great players, and look out. You know, I mean, they've won two in a row, and they should be really good again next year. They have to replace, you know, arguably the best quarterback in school history, but still, everything else is in place, and I think they're just going to be an absolute force for the foreseeable future.
Great stuff from Pat Forty, as always. Appreciate the time. We head to the break now. We have the former commissioner. I was about to say commissioner, although it's always impossible to look at Roy Kramer and not think of him as the commissioner. He'll join us in the next hour. He just recently was selected to the College Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk to the commish right after we come back from the next hour in a few minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We head to the phones after a fantastic chat with Pat Forty. I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon there, Paul. I don't know if that was a fantastic chat or not, but if you say it was, I guess it was, because I think your standards of fantastic and mine are two different fantastics. First off, condolences to all the Georgia people out there. I mean, kids out having fun, celebrating, doing what kids do. We see this. We've seen it a whole lifetime, and it's sad and it's heartbreaking at the same time. I appreciate you having Pat Smith on yesterday. It's always good to hear from Pat. And I appreciate you allowing him, 2 minutes to talk about the largest tragedy in all of college sports right now. Then, of course, you have to talk about the coordinators at Alabama and spend 4 or 5 minutes on that. And I appreciate you coming in. And in 2 days' time, and I understand the timing of everything and why things happened like they did yesterday, and I don't really understand the numbness and the quietness and the protection of a program. Had this been Urban Meyer at Florida, Ohio State, you'd be trashing him for the last 24 hours. But because this is at the University of Alabama, and we've seen the thuggery on the football team, we've seen the thuggery at the basketball level now, and mum's the word. I tell you, that's a hard story to find, even in the state of Alabama. The local people don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's the thug mentality of just one of the most heinous acts in the history of mankind taking place, and it's taking place on the campus right here in North Alabama, and you can't hardly hear anything. You have to Google something about it. And your program has spent all of about 4 minutes, because you did repeat Pat's call, so that's twice, and then you talked about Calipari and Alabama basketball and Harbaugh and all that. And so you spent about a minute on it with the 40 dude. You know, fantastic. By the way, Paul, fantastic interview. That was stunning. You know, I'm gonna record that interview and I'm gonna play it back every night before I go to sleep. But I find it interesting and awful quiet of you, who is real finger pointing. Did you call Daryl evil yesterday? You did. And I don't understand that. Do you think Daryl's an evil person, Paul? I'm asking you a direct yes or no question. You can respond anytime.
Well, I need you to quit bloviating before I respond.
Bloviating?
Yeah, that's what you're doing here, I-Man. You have an agenda.
No,
first of all, I-Man, you've spoken. I'm going to speak for a second, if that's okay with you.
That's fine with me.
We're talking, we had a program yesterday which we devoted most of it to the tragedy in Georgia. Yes, we mentioned.
I told you.
I am not going to speak with you anymore because you cannot allow anybody else to talk when you're talking. So go ahead, finish your agenda, and I'll move on to the next call.
You're running from the conversation. It was a yes or no question. You don't have to come up with all these words and sentences. You're scared.
If you want to stand in line with your comrade over in Georgia, you go right ahead, okay? But I don't want anything to do with him, and I really don't want anything to do with that conversation because the situation in Tuscaloosa is very serious. I think any person with any ability to comprehend understands the seriousness of it. We're also waiting for more information, which we do not have right now. You have someone who is a couple of people who are charged with capital murder. Everyone has their own thoughts, but you do have to respect the process. And I know maybe where you're from, there isn't a process of law and rights and presumptions and things like that. But you know, until we know more, that's where we're going to be. We're not going to. I thought Pat a very serious question about the Alabama program. And you know, this off the field and what happens. And I don't know what else I can do, but. Yeah, that's certainly your right to do whatever you want, but I'm not going to sit here and allow this program to come under attack by you in your single-minded, everyday tear Nick Saban, tear Alabama down agenda. That yesterday was not the time for that, and you know, if you want to be the lone defender of the fella from Columbus, I suggest that you learn more about him. Just go on social media, iMan. I think you're capable of that. And read all that he has written since that episode yesterday. We have read it. We've read more than that. And that's why we do not care to engage you in that conversation. You're welcome to say whatever you want. That doesn't mean we have to engage you. Whether I gave you a yes or no answer. Roy Kramer, the former commissioner of the SEC, will join us next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.